Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Vasa, a compulsive overeater from Florida. Welcome, Vasa.
Unmute yourself, Vasa. You're still muted, honey. The bottom left corner. Okay, go get her husband. She's going to get her husband. Do we have any other newcomers with us tonight? Quite a few people have joined. Whoops. There you go.
I have to use this?
Yes.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. Thank you, Jessica, for inviting me to speak to your Sunday night newcomers meeting. It's an honor to be with all of you, all those beautiful faces that I see in front of me. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about my history. I come from Macedonia. I came to this country when I was 15 and a half years old. I have four brothers. I'm the middle child. My father was an Eastern Orthodox priest, and we came in America when I was 15 and a half years old, and my addiction didn't really kick in till we came in America. I was a very thin child in the old country because we didn't have all the sweets and all the stuff that we get in America. So when we came to Boston, my aunt took me and my brother shopping to Stop and Shop. And she told us we could put anything we want in the wagon. And of course, you know what kids go for. And we put all the junk food, you know. Are you allowed to mention foods?
Sure.
Again, sugars, white flour, carbohydrates, you know. And I gained 20 pounds in 1 month. And my mother was the happiest person because, as a child, I was very thin. And she always worried about me being thin. Maybe I was sick or something. And she would try to make special meals to put some weight on me. But, you know, it's not like I was picky eater, you know, we had the food. It wasn't the kinds that I wanted, the craved, you know. But anyways, that's when my food addiction started, from 15 and a half years old till I was 41 years old, and I came in the program of October 25th, 1986. And I had my 38 years anniversary this October, just went by. And I've been in this program, never left it. And I was ready. I really, whatever I did those 25 years, tried to diet. I took some laxative. I used some bulimia, anorexia. And I think my top weight was about maybe 35 pounds when I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm short, I'm only like 5'1". And that was a lot of weight on my body. And my doctors kept on telling me, every child I gained more and more as I was pregnant, you know. And with the last one, I had gained like maybe 55 pounds. And it was, I mean, it was getting, I could not take it off. It was just so hard. So I had been taking, you know, the same pounds, like 15, 20, 30, 40, you know, 35 pounds. I must have gained and lost like hundreds and hundreds of pounds over my lifetime over those 25 years. And everything I tried, it just did not work. This is embarrassing to say, but this is the truth. I was so powerless over the food addiction at that time. If somebody put a poop in a capsule, I would have taken it if that was going to save me from the food addiction, you know. I could have never admitted or say that, but that was the truth. That's the way I felt. So one of my friends, I like Bill's story, you know, in the big book, how his Abby went to visit him at his home. Well, I could relate with Bill's story. One of my friends, my Abby, came to visit me that we had been friends over the years, my house, and she always struggled with the weight, you know, and we both struggled with the weight, but I hadn't seen her for a while. And she came to the kitchen door without calling or announcing, and she looked wonderful. And I said, what have you been doing? You look great, you know? And she just said and told me, oh my goodness, I forgot to tie myself. That's probably 5 minutes. Timing 25 minutes. So she told me what she was doing. She was an AA, also doing the OA. But she didn't tell me that she was in the AA at that time. She told me that she had been in OA for 2 years. And she told me for the first time in her life, she found the solution that she'd been looking all her life on for the food addiction. But the food was number one addiction, not the alcohol. And she told me, she 12-stepped me for about a week. Told me a little bit about abstinence, told me a little about the programs and how it worked, about meeting, sponsorship, and told me a little bit about the steps they were laid out in the big book. And she gave me this big book. This is my original big book. And she said, I said, why you give me the big book? I'm not an alcoholic. She said, well, that's okay. Just read it. You might relate with the alcoholic. So I was curious, you know, and I was really desperate. I had the gift of desperation. I didn't see it as a gift in those days. I saw it as a torture. How am I going to put this alcoholic foods down that I've worshipped and loved over the years, you know? And she said, you know, you don't have to do it alone. There's a program, you know, there's sponsors, there's tools, there's the solution is right here. And you have to find a power greater than yourself. Otherwise, you know, we'll be doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. And I said, a higher power? How do I find higher power? And she said, well, you know, higher power is in the 12 steps, you know, in the big book, the meetings, the steps, you know, higher power. I mean, when I came to my first meeting, I could, you know, I said, oh my God, I can't believe it. Finally, there was a word for it, what I was struggling. I didn't know food addiction was a disease. I didn't know the sugars was an allergy. I didn't know anything about the mental obsession, which I had struggled all those years, you know, with the food addiction. And I could admit that the first step, I could admit I was powerless over the food addiction, but I could not admit my life was unmanageable in other areas of my life because I'm a child comes from an alcoholic home, very achiever, very doer, very busy. And I said, how could my life be unmanageable? I've been trying to manage it all my life. She said, that's okay. Just work on the food. You know, your life is unmanageable with the food addiction. And after a week, she took me to my first meeting. We went to an anniversary meeting. And I could identify, there were three speakers there, and I could identify so much. I felt at home. I belonged there. I felt these people understood how I felt, what I thought, and what I did with the food. And it gave me so much hope. I was just so grateful to finally found the solution that I was a compulsive eater, and I could not stop by myself. It's not like I didn't try to stop over the years many times, but I could never keep it down. And then she took me to another week later to my home meeting, which I've been in Mansfield for the last 38 years. And it was much smaller meeting, probably like this here, you know? And I could not believe it. It was free. And I was looking for diets, or I was looking for the scale, you know? And it had nothing what I was looking that I experienced before. I just sat and listened and listened, and I cried. You know, I don't cry that often in public, you know, but I remember my tears coming down. I think my tears were really tears of joy that I found, of the sadness and joy that I found the solution for the first time. And that was the beginning. That really was the beginning. They gave me the newcomers kit, you know, and there's a test over there that they ask if you're compulsive of the eater. And I answered every one of them, yes, 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 every one of them. Nobody had to convince me and tell me that I was compulsive of the eater. I knew myself with the inside of myself. And on break, everybody came because I was a newcomer. They came and they greeted me and they gave me hugs. And they told me to come back 6 times. If I didn't like the meeting, you know, nobody's gonna force me to stay and nobody's gonna keep me there. It was my choice, my decision, if I wanted, or go to another meeting. If I didn't like that meeting, I could go to another meeting. And then, yes, I went back to that meeting, and then I went to another one during the week, and then I went to another one. And my husband says, where are you going? I was homestay mom. I was always home with the children, you know, home care for the kids and committed to my family, you know. But I told my husband, I didn't tell him for about 3 or 4 weeks what I was doing. Finally, this is an honest program, right? So I needed to be honest and tell him what I was doing. And he said, well, how long is this gonna last, you know? Because he had heard me before, you know, this is it. I'm gonna do this diet. I'm gonna go to the Gloria Stevens. I'm gonna go to the Weight Watchers. I'll do this and I'll do, the doctor gave me diets. I was always very willing at the beginning, but I could never keep it down. So my sponsor said, the only way it is, Vasa, for you to surrender. You know, I don't know if the newcomers might have a problem with that, you know, but I was open-minded. And I said, I will surrender to this program. I will surrender to a higher power. I will surrender to God. I'll surrender to 12 steps, the two, whatever you tell me. I just don't want to keep going like this. I'm going to die. It was going to kill me, the food addiction. Because I gave into the food by the time I came to OA, because nothing else was working, so I might as well stop dieting, just give it up. And I was eating. I was not even hungry what I was eating. I wasn't even enjoying the food, you know. I was just eating to fill the void, the emptiness that I had in my heart, you know. So finally, I did surrender. In my bathroom, she told me, go and find a place, surrender, you know? And I ran through the kitchen, I went in the bathroom, locked the door. I didn't want my family to walk in and find me on my knees, you know? And I surrender. I say, God, I surrender. Please forgive me, higher power. Forgive me for all the sins I've committed, which are the character traits or defects. I didn't know much about character defects in those days. And I felt a power go from my head to my heart. I felt that connection. I felt the presence of that higher power, God, whatever you call it. And I heard this voice, something about forgiveness, acceptance, and honesty. And it was all geared towards me, not towards other people. And I felt like the weight was just lifted off my weight, off my shoulder. And I got up and I felt this joy. I felt this excitement with inside. I didn't know, understand what happened. I said, I'll just tell my sponsor what I did and what happened. I could not wait till the next morning to tell what happened. But anyways, once I got up, I walked out of the bathroom, going in the kitchen, and I said, I will start this tomorrow. Well, that voice small, the voice small came in my head, said, well, how many times, Vasa, you said to yourself, I'll start tomorrow, Monday, next week, for my wedding, for the special occasion, for the summer. I mean, there was always something I was going to start, you know, for something, but I could never keep it stopped. And then once I heard the voice, and I was going to open the refrigerator to check out, you know, and I just stopped. I was afraid, and I stopped. Went in the bedroom. I wanted to shake my husband, tell him what happened, but I said, better not. He's going to think I'm crazy. So I didn't. But I stayed most of the night thinking about it, you know, and I could not wait to tell my sponsor what happened the next morning. And she said, Vasa, that's the higher power, whatever it is. I did grow up with fear for punishing God, you know, I was really afraid to surrender. But with a higher power, I was much more open than God, because I grew up with fear for punishing God. I don't know if that came from my parents or my friends. I thought I was going to burn in hell if I sinned. And plus, where my father was a pastor, you know, a priest, Eastern Orthodox, we had to be really good kids. We had to be power of example for the world out there. So there were a lot of expectations from us to be perfect in many ways, you know, probably more from my mother than my father. But anyways, I like the thought of higher power. And I still love the higher power, you know, because my higher power I found in the 12 steps. And I never thought I would ever, ever surrender. I never thought I could surrender to God and ask for help with the food addiction. Then I learned there's nothing that we cannot surrender to God with, as I was going through the recovery or my steps, you know. There's not a little thing that we have to be afraid to surrender, because God is within us, the higher power with us, and he'll help us with anything as we go through the steps. So I eat three meals a day, and my husband used to say, yeah, you eat one meal a day. You start in the morning, you graze all day, at nighttime, and then I would graze during the evening, you know, after supper. And then I would get up at nighttime, 1 o'clock, to go to the bathroom, excuse me, and I would check the refrigerator. So that meant I was eating, grazing like a cow all day long. And then I thought, you know, I gave up the sugary things and the white flour. It was cold turkey, you know. The next morning, I was getting the withdrawals. I was getting the shakes, like the alcoholic, you know, when they go through the withdrawals. And I somehow I committed to God and my sponsor, myself, I was going to give up those foods. And I said to myself, well, I've already committed to my sponsor, and I don't want to have to tell her I got into the food. I said, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to eat my breakfast and wait till lunch. And then lunch to supper, it was, oh my God, I thought I was gonna die, you know? I wanna throw myself down on the floor and cry like a baby, because I wanted my food. I wanted my fix, my friend that I called food. Today, I see it as an enemy, not sugar. I learned it's drug, it's like cocaine. It's for me, that's the way it is for me. You know, I don't judge other people. I don't take other people's inventory. I don't do sugars and I don't do white flour. And I do 3 meals a day, one day at a time. And I was very overwhelmed at the beginning. I told my sponsor, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, you can do this one day, just for one day, Vasa. You know, just do it for one day. It was torture. When the compulsion came back, I would get on my knees and ask God to remove it. Or I'd go and read step one or step two, step three. The first three steps were the foundation for me. Always step one, two, and three. Step one, two, and three. That's all I wanted to work. And that's what sponsors suggested. But I had open mind. When I was going to other meetings, I would listen to other people where they were in their recovery. Okay. So I worked the steps to the best of my abilities. The food has been down by the grace of God. I don't take credit. I don't take any credit. It is by the grace of God. When I heard people, they were abstinent, even 1 week, I'd say, how did they do it? Even 2 weeks, I said, oh my God, how did they do it? 3 weeks, a year or two, I never would have been able to see myself be where I am today. But it is because I've stuck with the program. And I have been working the steps the way they're laid out. Once I became abstinent, and my sponsor said, well, you gotta continue with your steps. You gotta go work to step four. I said, well, I don't have to because I'm abstinent. I lost the weight, 6 months took me to lose the weight. I got on the scale once a month, could not wait to get on the scale to see my result. I lost like six pounds and a half the first month. I was excited. I was just so excited. I had never lost that much weight, but I never allowed myself to wait a whole month to weigh myself. I hardly weigh myself now. I forget. It's not about the food any longer. I see myself, the clothes, are they fitting? I go to the doctors, I get weighed once a year. I maintain within 2 or 3 pounds. I've been pretty much the same weight for about 38 years. There's no graduation for me from this program. I love working through the steps, every one of the steps. It was very hard at the beginning, working through the steps, step four, and then giving it away, my inventory. And then step six, seven, eight, and making amends, putting down the people that I harm, making amends. Step 10, 11, and 12, I live in today. So there's no graduation for me from the steps. I love going back and forth. By the time we get to the 12 steps, I can't wait to go back to step one to get reminded where I was. I don't want to ever, ever, ever go back to the food addiction. And I have struggled with other addictions, but food was number one for me. And it is by the grace of my higher power, I've been able to work on codependency, ACA, other programs too. But I needed to put the food down. My sponsor said, the program works better if you put your alcoholic foods down and then you work the steps the way they're laid out. So the reason I worked the rest of the steps because I didn't want to go back to the food addiction. And I also had a three, is it my time yet, Jessica? Is it time?
You have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, great, thank you.
Okay.
And I also had a three-year-old child at that time. And I said, if I don't get this weight off, I thought it was just all about the weight. Then I could physical, emotional, spiritual, and I better work on three of them. It's like a three-legged stool. If I don't work on three of them, then the stool is going to be tipped. So So I do it to the best of my ability. I have two older children. There was 10 years between my last one and the second child. And I have three, one daughter and two sons. So there was 10 years between the second and the third child's son. And there were 10 years. And I just didn't want to die. I also didn't want to be sick mother. My mother, this disease killed my mother. And we didn't know anything about Overeaters Anonymous. We didn't know about any of this stuff. She tried to control it herself. Doctors tried to tell her what to do, but she couldn't. And I feel so sad, you know, and I'm so grateful that we have programs today. My mom died when she's only 62 years old. I'm 77 years old, and I'm probably the oldest now. And I was 41 years old when I came to this program. And I remember saying, oh, I'm so old. I am so old. Are you kidding? Looking back, you know, 41 years old, I was so young. And I'm just so grateful that I've stayed all these years. I'm not boasting. I'm not bragging. Everything, all the changes that happened to me over the years is by working the steps and having a higher power. No matter what I go. I've gone through many difficult times over the years. My son had cancer. My granddaughter had heart surgery, open heart surgery when she was a week old. My three brothers passed on since I've been in the program. My mom passed before I came to the program. My father passed 15 years ago. He did struggle with alcoholism. I don't like to label people, but I could see it because he tried to give it up at times and he couldn't. But our relationship came in recovery, my relationship, I had a lot of resentments to work through. And most of them had to be the mother, the father, and my husband. Most of them. I didn't have very many. And myself, you know, too. So it wasn't that easy for me to go through the resentments and then go through the amends and all that stuff. And I did blame my happiness on that. I blame my husband for me not being happy. My mom or dad, I lived in the past, some of the things that happened. But that has been all been taken care of, you know. Prayed for my dad and my mother. Even when she was dead, I prayed for her. God, please, I prayed that she's in heaven with you and she struggled with this food addiction so long, so many years. And doctors would tell her what to do and how to do. She had so many heart attacks. She was hospitalized so many times, diabetes, high blood pressure, open heart surgeries. It was just so painful to see her go through all that. And I didn't want to go through all that pain. And I do believe my mother was in heaven and she prayed for me to find, you know, the program, to find a higher power. I did have God. I went to church, you know, but I didn't have a personal relationship with God, a higher power that I have today, you know. So, you know, our kids were raised with God. My husband was more godly person than I was. I had a religion, you know, but I didn't have spirituality. This is where I get my spirituality, having that personal relationship with my higher power. So I don't know what else to say, but I'm just so grateful to be here and to share my experience, strength, and hope. It's gotta be time, Jessica, right?
Perfect timing.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm really looking forward to hear everybody share.
Thank you, Vasa.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Vasa.
Welcome.